Everybody makes mistakes. If you think you're perfect and you want to fire them just because they made a mistake, then it may not be your employee it's the problem. Maybe you.
This is the Contractor Files Podcast. Your hosts, Ethan McNeil and Trent Keith, take a deep dive into the construction and remodeling industry to uncover keys to success and pitfalls to avoid.
I'm Ethan McNeil.
And I'm Trent Keith. We are on podcast number 26.
That's right.
And we are here with an interesting topic today.
Yep. Today it is called, the topic is called How to Handle the Top 5 Tricky Situations in the Construction Business.
So this is like top 5 overall. There's no trickier situations?
No. Oh, no. There is not any trickier ones. These are the top 5, the only 5. And every year they're rated by people and they kind of readjust them. And
there you go.
No, this is just the top 5 off of our heads.
Oh, that's right. Not that anyone else has ever run into a tricky situation.
No.
You know, we come up with 5 good ones.
Yes. And this is going to handle both for the contractor, the employee, and the homeowner. So we got a little bit of both.
There you go.
Going on. Or
maybe the top 3 in each position, right? For each homeowner, each, I don't know.
Yeah, we didn't write out that many, but yeah, we could do that. Daggone it, let's stop the podcast and start over.
Okay, what's number 1 on the top of our tricky situations?
All right. This is for the contractor. How do you handle the situation when you're a contractor and you're coming in on a job and you're coming in behind someone else who did a bad job? Another contractor who messed it up, and now you're there to fix it. How do you handle that?
How do you handle it? Wow. Yes. What's your first answer to that?
Well, I'm just gonna give you a tip right off the bat. I would say that almost always, the customer is definitely going to be upset in those situations. Don't join in their frustration and badmouth the contractor to pieces that came in before you. It's okay to acknowledge that, yes, they did a bad job. Yes, I can fix that. Yes. But in my opinion, I start to have, as a homeowner, I would start to have a little bit of a drawback about this contractor if he also starts just bad-mouthing all the things that happened and all the things that went wrong in the previous contractor. It's a red flag, and I think we covered that in one of our earlier episodes. But as a contractor, if you're coming in on a job and it's been completely messed up by the previous contractor, don't join in and overly criticize that previous contractor, because I think that's a red flag for the homeowner. So yeah. That's my first tip, and there's got to be more.
That's a good one. I would say you never want to get in the middle of a situation like that, because no matter how bad the contractor was or how bad of a situation you're facing, bad mouthing the other person is not going to fix it.
Yes.
It's not going to help it. So, yeah, definitely steer away from that.
Yes.
And try to push the customer towards the solution and what you need to do to get there, and not focus on how bad it is.
That's good.
And point out things that they didn't see, how bad they are. You know?
Yes.
You may have to, as part of your bid, you may have to say, this and this is wrong also, so we have to fix that. But you want to definitely keep it minimal.
Yes.
Because that could turn real bad.
Yes.
Go ahead. What did you start to say?
I was just going to jump in on that. Another benefit to not bad-mouthing is, and we've seen this happen before, is that if you fix all the mistakes, that contractor that came in before, if you didn't badmouth them, they might be like, hey, you do a good job. You know what? I've got a couple other jobs that I can refer to you to come in and clean up the stuff I don't know how to do. And we've seen that happen before. So keep that in mind, that you might just get some extra jobs out of it by not bad-mouthing that contractor.
Yes. We've actually had something like that, that we just handled the job like any other. We didn't bad-mouth the contractor. And then we were done. The contractor was explaining how many issues they had with that homeowner that they didn't even feel like they could finish the job. So maybe they left before it was done.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And ended up, it just, you found out a whole different side to the story yes. after the fact. Not saying either one was right, but there was two sides to the story. Yes. So it wouldn't have done good to badmouth either one because they both have their own viewpoint on the situation. And they end up both liking you, all yep. said and done, because you made the homeowner happy, fixed everything, and you didn't badmouth the other contractor, and they were happy that you took care of it, and they yes. didn't have to. So
yes.
It definitely does not benefit anyone to get in the middle of talking bad about others. Just do your job,
right.
fix it, yep. and move on.
Yes. Yep.
What's next on the list?
Okay. Did you have any other ideas for people who are coming in behind a bad contractor?
Well, I would say the biggest thing when you're coming in behind a bad contractor that you want to keep in mind is be very detailed with what you're offering and what you're going to do.
Yes.
And you need to have all that written out.
Yep.
Because if you just tell the homeowner, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, and then you do the job, and then they say, well, I thought you was going to do this, this, and this also.
Right.
Next thing you know, you're a bad guy too, just
yes.
like the first contractor.
Yes.
So make sure you list everything out and you keep it documented to where everyone knows what's going to be done and what's expected.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, and to add to that, I would say be very mindful of the customers, the homeowners, their confidence level in contractors, and do things, small wins right up at the beginning to build confidence with that customer. You know, fix the things that are obvious, you know, the things that they brought up to you first of like, hey, look at how bad this is, or look at how this didn't get done. So do just keep in mind you're dealing with a customer who isn't just upset with the previous contractor. They're also probably a little bit suspicious of you and every contractor. So keep that in mind and start just treat them like there's somebody who's suspicious of you and build trust with them. Get the small things out that you can. Get wins for them, quick wins, so that they start to feel confident again.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, and be very upfront with them, just like you would want to be if you was in that position
yes.
with everything you're doing.
Yes. Yeah, and so what you're saying is build them up front, don't do any work, don't communicate, and see if you can also get fired from that job.
Not exactly.
Oh.
Oh, it's like everything. You know, we talk all the time about communication, documenting everything. If you're going into a situation where they had a bad contractor, you need to really be on top of your game
yes.
with all that from the very beginning, for sure.
Yep.
Yep.
All right. Topic number two. All right. How do you handle the situation when you are caught in the middle of a disagreement between two spouses? So...
Is this disagreement about your contracting work, or what's
it about? I would say more like they want to do it one way, the other one wants to do it another way, and they want you in the middle to pick a side. So how would you handle that?
I can tell you how I've handled that multiple times. When you decide what you want, let me know. Because there's not really much you can do. Now, when you're in that situation, there are times where one side is definitely your only option. But if it's just an opinion thing of colors or choices or that kind of thing, there's no sense in even giving your input because it's
yes.
not going to make any difference.
Yes.
You're better off just to say, we can do either. Once you two decide, you let me know what you
yes.
want to do. But if it's something that is a definite... you need to do it one way to make sure it's done right, then that's a different story. Then you say it really needs to be done a certain particular
right.
way because of whatever that reason is. But most of the time, it's just personal opinion.
Yes.
And each spouse has a different opinion, and they want to know your opinion and what you would do.
Yes.
And that's a very touchy thing.
Yes.
And I would never give my opinion in that situation.
Yes. Yeah. See, I'm just the opposite. And I would pick a side. And then I would just keep playing it. And then when you think you've come to almost a resolution of they're going to both decide this, switch sides. And then get that one ramped up. And then, yeah, just see how long it can go.
See, and then we'll be following Ethan in because he'll lose that job and we'll have to be the one fixing it.
That's right. That's right. Oh, no. Yeah, I don't really have anything else to add to that except don't get caught in the middle of just things that don't matter. And sometimes remodeling and construction can be very stressful for the spouses and for your husbands and wives, and tensions can be high. You don't want to be in the middle of that tension. Let them work it out. Let them communicate among themselves. And unless, like Trent said, it's something that it has to be done this way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is not the case most of the time.
No.
But
no.
So the answer to that would be steer clear, right?
Yes. Yep. Run away. Oh. All right. The third situation that you might find yourself in is your customer ran out of money and the job's not done. Should add that.
What will you do in that situation? You know, a lot of contractors work on, once they've been in business a little while, they work on maybe credit cards or something that can provide funding for remodeling. So if a customer runs out of money, they can apply and have a chance to get some money on a card to finish up.
Yeah.
But really and truly, it's all going to come down to, what did you lay out originally? Did you tell them exactly what it was going to be? When they had extras, did you break down those extras so they knew how much they were going to be? Were you very clear and precise about the cost of everything? Because if you were not, then this answer is going to vary dramatically.
Yeah.
But if you were very clear and all that's laid out and it's simple and they cannot come up with money any other way, then you'll have to walk away from the job until they can come up with more money.
Yes.
But a lot of that weighs on how you handled everything from the beginning.
Yes.
Yep. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with that. Like Trent said, there's probably companies, I know there's companies out there that will provide financing for your customers so you don't actually have to have, you know, the cash to finance your work. But that's not always an option for customers. And if you've done everything you could, like Trent said, and it's to the point where they're out of money and you don't want to work anymore because you're going to be at a loss, then you just have to communicate. And I would say they would understand. Most of the time, I don't know if I have ever run across a customer that couldn't pay for something and was upset that you were saying no.
Oh, yeah.
I can't work. You have run into that.
I've run into that. Because what happens is people get used to a lifestyle. Let's just say they get used to having electricity, okay?
Yeah.
And their electric quits working. And you go out to work on it and you tell them how much it's going to cost. And they say, well, we can't afford that. And you say, well, okay, then we're not going to be able to do the job.
Yeah.
Then they're upset because you don't do the job and they don't have electricity, but it's not your fault. But if it's a job like you're saying, that is one that you've bid, they know what it's going to be, and you get through the process, then yeah, most of the time you don't run into running out of money as long as everything was laid out very clear to begin with. But with services like electrical, plumbing, those kind of things, it can happen, and people will be upset if you don't do it, even if they don't have the money.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. I always feel bad for customers when you can tell that they are a little bit embarrassed about their financial situation and they're like juggling one credit card, try this credit card.
Yeah.
I think that's an embarrassing situation, but it's a situation that a lot of Americans find themselves in.
It happens.
They decide to do a remodel on the credit card, and if you've listened to our podcast or if you haven't, this is the only clip you hear from us. We highly recommend not.
There you go.
Remodeling on a credit card if you're a homeowner. You know, there's always situations where there might be exceptions, but on average,
yes,
don't do that. You're not going to regain normally. You're not going to regain unless you're in the middle of selling your house and you've got to get something done to sell it. It's kind of different, but if you don't have the money, don't do it.
Yeah, for sure. We feel that way in about everything to do with construction.
Yes.
If you don't have the money, wait until you have the money before you try to do it.
Yes.
Do not borrow the money, especially on a credit card.
Yep. All right. Number four. Should you use your friend, though this is for the homeowners, should you use your friend who's a contractor or not? How do you handle that if you don't use them? Actually, how do you handle that if you do use them? Yeah, there's so many awkward situations I think people find themselves in because they're working for a friend or because they hired a friend and now they don't like the job they're doing how do you handle that?
You start first on this one.
Well, I will say, first off, you communicate as much as possible without hurting their feelings. You communicate. And if you really do feel like it's not going a direction, you've hired this person, they're your friend, and they're not doing the job you wanted them to do, whether it's quality of work, whether it's a timeline, whether it's, you know, something else, I think you communicate with them and then tell them, hey, where's a good stopping point for you? Because we're probably going to have to bring in someone else. It seems like you're kind of overloaded here. And as I'm saying that, I don't know if I'd actually do that, but I'm more of a avoid conflict person. But you do have to communicate. You do have to let them know it's not going to get any better if you don't communicate. And sometimes, and this would be probably more what I would do, realistically, I would probably endure the job and then never hire them again. So there you go. You've got the healthy version and the unhealthy version. Take your pick.
I would say... What I would do is be very clear and precise with them of what you're thinking. So if, let's say you did give them the job, first of all, you got to be very careful if you're going to do that. But let's say you did and you get into it, like Ethan said, and they're not doing a good job, they're taking forever, and you feel like it's never going to end, then you need to communicate that to them.
Yeah.
Now, the way I would handle that is, depending on how they respond when you communicate that to them, would depend on where I go from there. If they get all defensive and snappy because of what you said, then we're done. Okay, pick up your stuff and move on because we're not going any further. If they know what you're saying and they're sorry and they want to fix it, then yeah, we can try it a little bit longer and see how it goes. Mm-hmm. But to me, their response of your honest feedback to them determines what I'm going to do with them.
Yes.
Whether we're going to keep them, get rid of them, give them a little bit longer. Or maybe they completely fix it and we'll use them again in the future. Who knows?
Yes.
But it all is determined on how they respond to that.
Yeah, that's good. I think that with working for a friend or being hired by a friend, or you're hiring a friend, you have like the sides of both the professional and the homeowner. There's sides coming out that they haven't necessarily seen of each other before. You know, it's a different side as a homeowner. When you hire somebody, you're showing a different side of yourself, a more, you know, hey, I'm the customer side of yourself. Then maybe your friend is used to. Maybe they're used to the, hey, let's go get pizza side of you. And the same thing for them. This is their business. So they might be showing you their professional worth ethic side of themselves, and you might not have known that's who they were. And they might not have known that that's who you were. So sometimes it works out great, and then other times it's, well, this was a nice trial, but let's not do this again. And what, to Trent's point about talking to them, I would say if they're a good friend, even if you're upset with them and it comes to an end, and you know they're going to be reasonable about it. They're not going to try and sue you. They're not going to say, "Well, I'll get all mad." They're going to be able to say, "Okay, you know what? That's fine. Let's just end this mutually and figure out how we can never do this again."
Yes, yes. And if you've got those issues and you try to talk to them about it and they get all mad and don't want to hear you, then you probably didn't have the best friendship anyway.
Yes,
so
exactly.
It's okay to move on from that situation.
Yes. Okay, the last one. What do you do if your employee makes a mistake in front of the customer?
Fire them. No.
Right there. We don't tolerate that in this company. You're gone.
We don't ever make mistakes. Okay, that's a broad question too, because what was the mistake?
Well,
and how bad was it in front of
them? Did they break the law, or did they put something where it shouldn't have been? Like,
oh, there you go again. I think you treat your employees the way you want to be treated. And if your employee makes a mistake, whether it's in front of the homeowner or not in front of the homeowner, first of all, you need to let them know they made a mistake. But second, you need to handle that mistake according to how bad of a mistake it was. Mm-hmm. Everybody makes mistakes. If you think you're perfect and you want to fire them just because they made a mistake, then it may not be your employee that's the problem. Maybe you that's the problem.
Yes.
But if it was a big mistake and it should have never been done and it was in front of the customer, then you may have to let them go. So it all depends, but at the same time, you got to learn to have grace for your employees. As long as they care and they're trying, then you have to help them work through those mistakes, because mistakes definitely happen.
Yep. Yeah, I think this goes back to one of the things we talked about in an earlier episode about fixing your mistakes for the customer. And I think that's obviously the first thing you do is you fix the mistake, and probably don't let that one go. If the customer saw it happen right there, then maybe you should go ahead and address it and fix whatever the problem was or whatever the mistake was. You can use it as a learning moment for that employee. They will probably remember that, that embarrassing moment. They broke the law. And then maybe you should just let them go, but don't make a big dramatic scene about it in front of the customer.
Yeah, definitely. You always want to treat people the way you want to be treated. So even if it was something very bad, you don't throw a fit and make a big scene in front of everybody. Yeah. You pull them off to the side. Yes. You explain to them how bad it was and that they no longer have a job.
Yeah.
And let them leave. But you still treat them with respect in that process. But yeah, there could be times that maybe that's your only option.
Yep. All right. Well, that covers all of our tricky situations.
There you go. Nobody's ever had any other tricky situations.
No, if you have, if there's something that you encounter that you are like, wow, that is the trickiest of them all, then comment and let us know. And maybe we'll talk about it in a future podcast. So
there you go. We'd like to try to figure out how to solve your tricky situation.
Yes, for sure.
All right. If you haven't heard about our app,
yep.
Ethan needs to explain that to you.
Go to myestimatingapp.com, and you will be pleasantly surprised by a kitchen and bathroom estimator that can estimate the remodeling costs for your customers, or if you're a homeowner, for you. It's a great product. We have some cool promo codes on our podcast website, which is the contractorfilespod.com. There we go, not podcast, the contractorfiles.com. go there, and there's a little link in there that will give you a little promo code that you can use to get a nice discount on the software.
There you go. So check that out, everyone.
Yep.
Thank you all for listening.
All right, have a good week.
Thank you for tuning in to our podcast. Be sure to share this podcast with your friends and family. To ask us any questions that might get answered in our next podcast, please visit our website, thecontractorfiles.com. Have a great rest of your day.